Today's gospel comes to us from John, the 20th chapter, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 883. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, I always think it's a shame that this is the text for the Sunday after Easter, because it's such a wonderful text, and so often this is, as we see by this big empty spot here, this is a low Sunday in terms of church attendance. And I always think it's such a shame because it's such a neat text with so much to think about, so much to think about in it. And so I thought today we would begin perhaps on a more disturbing note, perhaps, to think about as people, as communities, as individuals, as countries, what are things that keep us apart? Or what are things that separate us from each other, or separate one person from another person? What are some of those things that keep us apart, that separate us in this world of ours?
Personal beliefs,
okay.
Religion.
Anger. Politics.
Politics, especially now it seems like, huh?
Race.
Mm-hmm.
Suspicion,
yeah. Yep.
Resources,
yeah. Who has what and how much of what do you have? Other things you can think of that keep us, that separate people into different groups or different categories?
Education
and access to education.
Wanting to be part of a group.
Yeah.
Sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wealth, yeah. That separates us as well. Yeah, we can make a pretty decent list, I think, of things that separate people into different categories of folks. And I think behind some of those categories is fear, or like Wendy said, suspicion, I think. There's fear of the unknown. There's fear of change. There's fear of getting hurt if you approach the other group and are rejected. There's fear of the other because they are different from us. And there's fear of being less than, I think, of meeting somebody and feeling like you don't measure up and you are less than that other group is. And so I think it's interesting to think about fear, because we don't often talk about fear in public or really in church very often. But fear is a real piece of today's gospel text, that because fear is the primary motivator for the disciples as today opens. Because it's still Easter evening, right? It's still Easter day. Forget that it's been a whole week since we were here last for Easter celebration. But the women have just come back earlier this day and told this crazy story about this angel who said that Jesus is risen, and there's some confusion about what is going on and what's happening, and the disciples just don't know what is happening. And now it is evening. It is dark outside. And in John's gospel, anytime things are dark outside, it's more than just, the sun has gone down and it's now 8:30. It's that people are in unbelief, that there's some confusion, some uncertainty that is going on. And that's very much the case here for the disciples. They are scared. They're in this room and the doors are locked. And I would venture a bet that they are talking to each other in very whispering tones because they just are scared and don't know what is coming next. There's fear of the Jewish leaders, right? Do they have a list with Jesus at the top and then, you know, Peter, Judas, James, John, Thomas? Is there a list, you know, of people who are next to be executed? Is there a list of, and their names are on it? Are they going to be crucified as well? Or are they like the man born blind that Jesus healed a couple chapters ago in John's gospel? Are they at risk of being kicked out of the synagogue, of being shunned by family, by friends, by living in isolation and losing their community for following this crazy Jesus whose promises seem to be, have come to nothing, basically? So they are scared. They are worried. And then there's their own personal feelings. You know, we abandoned Jesus at the cross. When he was dying, what did we do? We weren't there. We ran away. We hid. We didn't stick with him. We left him all by himself to die. And that's hard. That kind of guilt, that kind of survivor mentality, that is hard to live with, hard to have as a piece of who you are. And so the disciples are scared. They are afraid. And then into the space, into this fear, the risen Jesus comes. And the risen Jesus brings two things with him that make a difference for the disciples. And the first is peace. Jesus, three times in today's gospel, every time Jesus appears, he says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And the peace that Jesus is talking about is pretty substantial. We think about a peaceful evening that might involve, you know, sitting by the fireplace with maybe something to drink, or, you know, that kind of a nice atmosphere kind of a thing. And that is a piece of peace. But peace is more, because here Jesus is saying, "Peace be with you." And it's more than just peace of mind or absence of conflict, but here Jesus is saying, "I forgive you. I forgive you for leaving me in the garden, for having me face Herod and Pontius Pilate all by myself. I forgive you for not sticking with me to the bitter end. I forgive you. Jesus is offering this reconciliation, this promise of comfort as well. And the promise of comfort is such a gift, because not only is Jesus offering forgiveness, but the comfort that during periods of intense stress, that peace will be there for them. It's that resurrection promise that ultimately all will be well and everything will be made right. The resurrection affirms God as the most powerful being in the universe, more so than any superhero kind of magical person that could ever be thought of or invented. But God is the real thing. He brings peace, that resurrection comfort, that knowledge that at the end of the end, everything will be all right, that love wins, that life wins, that peace wins. And so when Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you," he is giving this gift of comfort, of reconciliation, of forgiveness to the disciples. And they need that. They need that to get beyond the fear where they find themselves. But Jesus also does something else, because that peace that Jesus gives them doesn't happen without a struggle. And what Jesus does is really quite interesting, I think. Because in English it says he breathes on them. And in today's world we kind of say, "Ew, that sounds germy, right? That sounds just kind of gross. I don't want anyone to breathe on me. That's just weird." That's weird. And in Greek, it's a little weirder, because in Greek it says Jesus breathes into them, which, if you think about germs, is maybe more disgusting. But let's not think about germs. Let's think about God. Because in John's gospel, Jesus again and again says, "I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the vine. I am," you know, that Jesus says, "I am." And when Jesus says, "I am," we remember God, who with the burning bush and Moses says, "I am." When Moses says, "What is your name?" God says, "I am. Tell them I am." And then we remember even further back in prehistory for the Israelite people, for the Jewish people, that I am, that God takes this dirt toward the end of the days of creation. God takes this dirt, this mud, this clay, and God makes like this Play-Doh kind of a person. And that person just lies there looking like a nice clay statue until I am breathes into the clay. I am breathes into the clay. And Adam stands up and walks and thinks and talks and is full of that breath of life that God gives to Adam. And so that's what happens here in this upper room, is that Jesus breathes into the disciples. And they go from being dead and scared and terrified and angry and upset, that with the breath of God in them, they go out and the future is open to them. They're no longer so scared. They're no longer so worried. They're no longer in fear, but they move out into the world proclaiming God's love for all. And they do great acts of healing and teaching and preaching. And without them, without their actions on this, in this room, without Jesus breathing into them, there would be no reason for us to be here today. Because if they hadn't done that, Jesus would have been less than a footnote in history. He would have been just another rabble-rouser person who got crucified for talking weird and saying the weird things about God. And there were others in Jesus' day and age who did much the same. But the fact that the disciples go out and preach and teach and are totally convicted, even to the point of their own crucifixions, their own deaths, that what Jesus has said is real and true and powerful, and they cannot keep from proclaiming that good news. That is what changes everything for them. And that's what changes things for us as well. Because there are times when we want to stay behind locked doors, aren't there? There are times when we look at the world and think to ourselves, oh my goodness, what is happening out there? There are times when we are scared of change, when we're scared of the unknown, when we're afraid of being rejected or being judged by somebody else as being less than or not important or not anything. There are times when we are scared and when we are frightened, where fear controls us. And that's when Jesus comes to us and Jesus offers us two things. Jesus offers us that peace, that knowledge that no matter what happens in this world, that the resurrection is true and real, that God's love for us is the most important, most pivotal thing that can ever happen to us, is to be loved by God. And nothing can ever take that love away from us. And so Jesus gives us that peace, that comfort of knowing that we are home in God, even if we're not home anyplace else, that we are important and valuable in God's eyes, that we've been reconciled, our sins have been forgiven through that blood on the cross. We're given that peace, that connection to God. And in our baptism, when the Holy Spirit is poured out onto us, we have that breath of God in us. Jesus breathes that peace into us and gives us the courage to go out into the world and be God's people, not of separation and isolation, of fear and fear-mongering and putting people into different camps and judging and saying, you are less than because you don't measure up to what I consider standards of this or that. No. But what God gives us is the courage to say to those systems, that isn't the way I'm going to live. That isn't the way God calls us to live. That's not the way we are going to form a world. That we are a world of unity, of connection, not a world of separation and isolation. But that's who we're called to be, is people of peace, people of love, people of justice, people of forgiveness, in a world that needs those things so, so desperately. And that's why I love this text so much, because it reminds us, it calls us to remember who we are and whose we are, that we are people who have been saved by Jesus, and we are people sent out into the world to be God's hands, to be God's heart, to be God's love to a world that needs all of those things so, so much. Amen.